the unease in the hall as high lords and servants alike strained to listen. He could not pretend to surprise. The West had been a tinderbox since Catelyn had seized Tyrion Lannister. Both River Run and Casterly Rock had called their banners, and armies were massing in the pass below the Golden Tooth. It had only been a matter of time until the blood began to flow. The sole question that remained was how best to staunch the wound.
Wow. Micah, can you just do the audiobooks?
Seriously. This has been the audible.com preview of Micah Tannenbaum reading.
That should just
George
be our
R.
show
R.
from now on.
I've been working for the last 2 weeks to try to staunch the wound of Micah being gone, everyone.
Aww.
It's been so hard.
It has been.
He's back.
I'm back.
You're like Britney. You're back.
Exactly like Britney.
Not as attractive, though.
No, not as attractive. Well, although, did you have an umbrella during the hurricane? Because she had an umbrella once, if people remember.
Yeah. I don't know that that an umbrella would have done the best job during the hurricane. Though it didn't rain here, despite all the damage that we had.
I don't believe that.
We were spared rain.
It rained from the ground, Micah, because your house flooded and blew away.
So it was just the wind, Micah?
It was the high tide combined with the full moon combined with 90-mile-an-hour winds.
Right. So, it didn't need to rain because you had got water from the sea.
Well, we're very fortunate. We were very fortunate that it did not rain, because if it did, it probably would have been a lot worse. So we were very lucky here, all things considered. But clearly Uncle Ray needs to do a better job on the basement. Yes. He was working on the bathroom, but now he needs to go to the basement.
He's been busy. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a lot more to be contracted for. He's thankful for the storm.
Yeah. Hurricane Sandor.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Well, Selena, how's your wood cuddling level up?
My wood cuddling is so great. You know, it's lonely here in Sweden. So
yeah, cuddle some wood.
To stay warm in winter. No, it's good. It's good. And now I'm learning how to knit. So my life is exciting.
I was wondering about that, because I know that sometimes it gets lonely in Sweden, and Eric and I have been writing our own fan fiction. For that. And
we
titled the first book "An Abundance of Plaid," and wondered how much you've been wearing while you were cutting the wood.
We're co-writing
plaid.
It.
Oh yeah, I should be wearing some plaid.
You have to.
I?
We're doing it for NaNoWriMo,
which I think breaks the rules
of
NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, 50,000. It's good to be back, man. Really good. It's good that you guys are.
Isn't it a prerequisite though to wear plaid if you cut wood?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you can't cut wood and not wear plaid.
No, the wood gets offended.
Oh, that's why it's going so slowly.
You're cutting plaid trees
in
RuneScape and you're selling them in the market.
Guys, I just thought of the Lorax and like those Thneeds that are like brightly colored trees, except they're plaid.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I'm pretty sure the Lorax was based on an acid trip. Welcome to Game of Owns, everyone.
Yay.
Speaking of acid trips.
Yeah,
right. Speaking of acid trips, it's Monday and it's time to record an episode. Well, today is not Monday, but we're releasing this on Monday, so...
Don't tell our secrets.
Yeah, sorry. Well, guys, every episode's live. When you press download, everyone who presses play, we have to collect into our own personal studios at home and record it.
Record the same
exactly
show over
the
and
same
over again.
Show over and over again. That's why the laughs, they just...
Job.
They get less strong as every time goes. It's like, yeah, I remember that joke, Eric. I remember that joke, Zach. It already happened. Well, Micah started us out this day reading a passage from this chapter that we're doing. And we're in the throne room on a very uncomfortable chair made of thousands of slender swords. Am I right?
I'm sure it helps. It's better for you since you're sitting on my lap.
Yes, I am. It feels nice too.
I'm a little...
Also, it's very rigid as well. There's rigid... I think it's a sword anyway.
You guys have gotten pretty close in the couple of weeks that I've been at college.
Yeah, we have. It's just what happens. It's natural. Go with it.
It's natural. Just go with it, guys.
So you got a bit of history there too when he's sitting on the Iron Throne. Of how it came to be, right? It was forged in the mouth of a dragon?
Something like that. A big dragon. A large dragon
so
with a lot
awesome.
Of patience. And then it took not but 57 or 59 days, I forget the number, to actually smelt it into the comfortable, well, not really comfortable, the seating position that would be comfortable for someone who wants to be uncomfortable, is what the book says.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think, can't you actually buy a replica of the chair online?
Yeah, it's 20K, I think.
Wow.
I don't think it's actually metal. Is it metal, the one that's online?
I'd be surprised if
it
wasn't,
iron.
Actually.
But I guess it wouldn't be, because how would you ever ship that?
Right. They were talking about shipping and being like, it's expensive, but still, I don't believe it's expensive enough because it would take a semi to move.
I actually went to a Renaissance fair and there were these iron forgers or whatever who were selling. They were selling the outfit that Sauron is wearing in the flashback at the beginning of Rings.
Oh yeah.
I guess he's got a different name at that point.
Does he?
And it's just his crazy giant like helmet and pointy armor. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But it was also like 11 feet tall.
So Christian could fit into it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Christian could totally fit in it, but everybody else, and it was like several thousand dollars, but you could take it home.
Ned was clad in a white linen doublet with the direwolf of Stark on the breast. His black wool cloak was fastened at the collar, or as this says, collar.
Yeah, sorry, my pirate.
Collar!
My pirate. Dude, your thing, man.
Leaves out the L's.
Black and white and gray, all the shades of truth. I am Lord Eddard Stark, the King's Hand. Tell me who you are and what you know of these raiders.
Of these Mance Raiders.
Uh-huh.
Oakland Raiders.
Of the Lost Ark.
Okay, that was too many puns. Right. Hey, you guys are so punny. Oh my God.
Oh my God. But dude, Ned is sitting on the throne. Come on, what is that? It could have been. It's what could have been.
Robert's away hunting, getting his hunt on for that secret white deer from Snow White and the Huntsman.
They need a chair right next to the Iron Throne for the hand, though. Maybe it could be shaped like a hand. Maybe it could be shaped like a hand and be made up of all hands.
Lord of the Rings, and he would be Boromir would be like his father, the steward of Gondor. Yeah, my gosh,
Lord Denethor.
Yes.
Wow.
Set a fire in our flesh. He died very nobly. No,
John Noble needs to be in Game of Thrones.
Everyone needs to be in Game of Thrones. I keep saying that.
Right.
We all do. We need to be like townsfolk.
We need to be in Game of Thrones.
In an episode. We need to talk to Christian about that.
What the hell?
Could you get us in as
John
townsfolk,
Noble be looking
please?
For work after next, because aren't there only like eight
he
more episodes
be.
Of Fringe?
Yes, then Fringe is done. You can come to Game of Thrones. It's perfect. We should start campaigning.
I love Fringe.
All right. Except he'll have to be in season 4. He'll have to be one of the characters that start getting introduced because all the other characters are dead.
Yeah. He'd be a brilliant bad guy.
I love the imagery here. Ned's white doublet. I often think about how Ned kind of resents the whole pleasantries of the court and how he also resents being out of his badass clothes. But there's a part in there where he's talking about his black wool cloak. And I'm like, yeah, he's still got that shit on. Over the nice clothes.
Black and white and gray, all the shades of truth.
Exactly.
I love that.
I know. George Martin did it first, and then 50 Shades of Grey copied afterwards.
Yes, I was going to say, this is like a better version.
Yeah. But it's kind of a, they did this scene in the show, and it was, I mean, and we keep saying something like this along the lines of this, but the book was better in the sense where we got much more of a hostile taste because all those guys are coming. And they're telling about all these terrible things about all these people dying. And he's sort of forced to make a decision because Robert's away hunting for some mythical animal.
I just really like these next couple of chapters because it's shit starts to happen. Where not to say that the last couple of chapters weren't, you know, full of different events and things
it's
like that.
It's because you weren't on the episodes, right?
Yeah, well, that too.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah.
But thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
Now that Ned is sitting on the throne, you can kind of see the struggle that's going on in his mind, right? Because on one end, he hates the fact that he has to deal with Robert's business. But on the other end, he goes full force with what he decides and what he finally enacts. And he has these people there in front of him. You know, they're from the, I guess, the general River Run area. Which
the suburbs of River Run.
The suburbs of River Run, right.
Naperville, just hanging out.
and their villages have been, you know, pillaged and you know their crops have been burned and their stock has been slaughtered and their women have been raped and in many cases their families have been killed. And so you know that Ned just by sheer nature has a tie to River Run because of Catelyn. So you're wondering if he's acting in any way based on his emotion. And that's never touched on in this chapter at all, but I wondered it when I was reading it.
I think Ned himself would say that to rule without emotion is somehow wrong. Where, you know, we've seen him be a great father and we've seen him be a great leader, but someone who says like, he who passes the sentence should swing the sword. He's all about emotion. Emotion goes into his work. So I think he is acting emotionally, but that's not to say he's not, you know, he's just passionate about, and it makes him stronger that he's letting his judgment and his conscience guide his actions here, I think. But it has to do with what emotions you choose to act upon. So it's not out of revenge, even as he says when he denies, you know, Sir Loras the opportunity. He says,
poor Sir Loras.
But he's 16 in the book. I mean, is he really going to go up against the mountain and succeed?
Right. He's good.
Not a chance in hell.
He can fight real well. He's a good fighter, but come on now.
The other thing in this chapter with Ned is he's very tactical. Like, he's thinking how Tywin Lannister could potentially be thinking. Mm. And this whole concept of drawing people that would fight for River Run away from River Run, making it more vulnerable in a sense. And what I didn't get, though, why it didn't possibly cross his mind is, could it potentially be that Tywin planned for these people to come to come to King's Landing to draw away Ned's allies, which ends up happening at the end of the chapter? You know, he sends 20 men from Winterfell away to go after Gregor Clegane, and that leaves him vulnerable. That leaves Ned vulnerable. And so I was just wondering about his decision-making in all this.
I mean, I'm not sure that Tywin would really be interested in hurting Ned at this point, would he? Because I know that obviously Catelyn has his son, but that's Tyrion. He doesn't have Jaime at this point.
Not the one he cares about.
Right. Exactly. And I think that, I mean, as we see in the next Ned chapter, at this point, Ned isn't really a worry for the Lannisters at all. So I'm not sure that he would be thinking that way, but it definitely doesn't help Ned's case that he loses 20 of the last of his men.
You guys are forgetting, though, we still don't know for a fact it was Tywin. That was the whole deal in the court.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy, he was like accusing Tywin. And Pycelle stepped up, and everyone's, it's like a debate because they went in plain armor, but they had war horses, but they had all of these things.
That's like one of the things that's so brilliant and so frustrating about this series, because they do this, Martin does this a lot, where he sort of introduces this thing that's like a big, did he do it? Did he not do it? It's so important. And then by the time you find out, like three books later, it's so not important anymore.
Right. Pycelle says, "My lord Hand,"
Pycelle declared in a stiff voice,
"I urge you to remind this good knight that Lord Tywin Lannister is the father of our own gracious queen."
"Thank you, Grandmaster Pycelle. I fear we might have forgotten that if you had not pointed it out."
I love that quote. That was my own of the week.
It's an ass full of sarcasm. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, since when did Ned like develop this dry sense of humor? I love it.
I don't know. I just think he's like, yeah, you're right. I think he has such incredulity though over Pycelle, because Pycelle's so clearly
he's an asshole
in the Lannisters. Yeah, he's in the Lannisters corner too.
Well, I mean, imagine you're in the royal court, okay, and you've got all of these people that have come in and been like, they killed hundreds of people, they've burnt our crops. And there's a line where he was like, they killed our cows that we use for work and also to eat off of money and food, and instead of killing them and taking them like a normal raider would, they just killed them and just let them rot. They're just being assholes. And so they're coming in here and they're so frustrated and they're like, please help us. We definitely know it was the Lannisters. We saw them. They just weren't carrying a sign. You know what I mean? And that was that was Pycelle's reaction to the whole thing. And so Ned's pissed. Look at him.
Exactly. Yeah. And how could you not think that that's the work of somebody like Tywin Lannister? I mean, we haven't really officially met him yet in this series. And you just know, though, I guess, probably from watching the TV show, that this is kind of the underhanded thing that he would do. He would send out troops which aren't marked. You know, you can't tell sigil or anything else that would be an identifying mark. But look, you have this big-ass dude who nobody is comparable in size to, maybe with the exception of Hodor.
That would be an epic battle, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
But the one dude who's talking to Ned is like, oh, but by the way, I know it was them because I raised their horses.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which, I mean, he was like, they're war horses. They've never pulled a plow. So only really, really rich people could have this. And I'm pretty sure there's only one rich person surviving in the world ever now. So
yeah. That's the thing. It's totally wasteful to do what was done. you know, with not taking the cows, killing them. It shows that you don't need the, you know, the goods, that you have them. And having a second set of armor, like, you know, for those stealth, missions or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, definitely a poor country would have only the armor they need, you know, they'd all have the sigil, because you just wouldn't get into the period of excess where you can make armor that doesn't have the sigil.
I liked how they were like, their spears were steel tipped. And it was like, what else would you put on a spear? They're talking, basically they're saying their weapons worked. They were fancy. And I know it was them, which that's so sad that it's obviously there. They're at that state. You know, everyone is sort of poor.
Yeah, the Lannisters also have swords that are ribbed, actually.
Ribbed swords. Those are the best kind.
They're, for her pleasure.
They're seasonal from McDonald's, you asshole. So basically, we all know. And the court is really... It's imagine that situation to where we all know that the Lannisters pretty much won the last war because of Cersei getting in and because of Tywin's power and how much they're indebted with the court. So as readers, if you guys are following along and maybe you haven't watched the show, and I know that none of you exist, but I'm going to pretend that you do for this point. We know that basically the Lannisters run the kingdom. And right now someone is talking to the Hand of the King. The king is nowhere to be found. The queen isn't there. And he's basically giving the Hand of the King all the evidence he needs to make these people that are basically running it, you know, be criminals to declare something against them. And they're just like, they're sitting on edge because at any moment he's the leader. He's acting as the king. He can just strip one of them of all of their titles and lands.
But he can't, though. That's the brilliance of it, is that that's what Robert had to face as well, is that even as the king, even sitting on that damn iron throne, he has no power because the Lannisters are all around him. You know, if you strip one of them of their power, there's going to be three more Lannisters still around you, like ready to take you down. You're right, exactly. Like blonde, you know, beautiful cockroaches.
Oh yeah, those are the best kinds.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, here's the other
that's
thing,
what we
too,
have here.
Though.
Yeah, I thought so.
I can't remember if in the show or not, but does he actually call Tywin to come to King's Landing?
Yes, he does in the show.
Which in the book doesn't happen.
Right.
Mm. So, I mean, that would probably piss Robert off more because it's basically like Ned's creating this shitstorm for Robert, assuming that he returns all well and good from his hunting trip.
Well, what do you guys think Robert would do? Because it's all but clear that Clegane did all of these terrible things. And so Ned does what the logical thing to do would be. You're stripped of your titles. Your lands go to your next of kin, you know, who's actually in the court. Not physically. He's out hunting, but he's part of it.
Yeah.
Do you think it was too extreme?
No.
I think it was, considering that Robert probably would have let him off.
Well, that's
bullshit. It's kind of like that strict substitute teacher that comes in and is like, really,
you
really
killed all those peasants.
Yeah, like not acceptable. Whereas the regular teacher like knows you and would be less hard. You know, like the substitute teacher where the class and look, it's got to be tough to be a teacher. But when you know, when you come in and all the kids are just like, not, you're not letting them get away with shit. Like, that's
right.
Ned. I think Robert would have done the same thing.
You he
think
might he have, w- because he let Jaime Lannister get away scot-free for killing Jory and a number of other of Ned's men. And I think emotion, we go back to what we were talking about before, played into this, because Ned was, I think it was this chapter, where he has that moment where he's thinking about holding, you know, Jory in his hands. And I wonder if that's retaliation in a way for what happened.
Yeah, but they had a story. They had a really good story. They were like, Ned was leaving a brothel drunk and was causing shit, and we reacted. At least they had a story that the king could be like, all right, like he did with the wolves. I'm just going to go in the middle here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is just so obvious. You've got all these people that are, you know, basically bleeding out of the head that have walked in. They're like, please help us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't know what Robert could have done, though.
Differently, you mean?
Well, as you say, with all the Lannisters, you know, in his court, it just doesn't seem like he would have been able to have such of an impact on the Mountain.
If Ned can do it, if Ned has the balls to be like, hey, this is the judgment. Surely Robert would do the same thing, if not greater, or not, because he is in their pockets. Who knows? But Clegane's not a Lannister. He's just their friend.
Exactly. He can do whatever he could to Clegane.
Isn't he a Bannerman?
Right, but he's not physical. What I'm saying is, like, Jaime did it, but that's his wife's lover brother. And I don't know. It's another one of those situations where Martin has written a situation where things would have been totally different, geographically permitting, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Because if Robert would have went after, think about this. If Robert would have been one go after the mountain, Ned wouldn't have died. Shit would be different.
Yeah. That's a good point. I liked how at the end, though, Varys said, well, you know, by the way, I'm not too sure that Sandor would like the fact that you went ahead and killed his brother, you know, when he probably wanted to do the same thing himself. So, Varys had a couple of weird lines in this episode.
Yeah.
This episode, this chapter. Like, they were just chilling and having the conversation in the throne room. And I don't know, like, the guy on the, I forget the guy's name who plays him in the show, but he does such a good job, because all I could think about during this particular scene was that guy. So
yeah, he's in my head on this as well.
But I'm trying to look up the line real fast that he had.
There's a line, I don't know if it's the one that I have noted in there.
No, he said, they're talking about everything that happened to these poor people in the burbs of River Run. And he said, oh, dreadful. How cruel can men be? Like,
yeah,
you're a fucking
every
dick.
Every line is just dripping with, it's not even sarcasm. It's just that he's saying it, but you know that he doesn't give a shit. Like, you just know. And, right. Still, I chanced to see Sir Ilan in the back of the hall, staring at us with those pale eyes of his. And I must say, he did not look pleased, though, to be sure, it is hard to tell with our silent knight. I hope he outgrows his disappointment as well. He does so love his work.
That's a very convincing British accent. Selena.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know J.K. Rowling was coming on the show.
I'll take that as a compliment.
it's funny, though, because when you think about it, we were talking about all the people that are in the court basically looking at Ned being like, oh, I can't wait till he messes up. This is going to be good. Sir Ilan is just back of the hall thinking, oh,
yeah,
this
he's
mother,
like, I'm gonna kill
this
him all.
Bastard.
But isn't it somewhat creepy that Varys says this to him about Sir Ilan Payne, knowing what's about to happen to Ned?
It's all foreshadowing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sir Ilan Payne is one of the creepiest people in this entire story.
Yar.
It's true.
So you guys don't think it was too extreme? You think that the judgment he passed was totally cool, and that, I mean, if we've only read this far in the book, it's going to happen. We don't think anything's going to happen to Ned, right?
Yeah, well...
No,
I mean, yeah,
I wouldn't think so if I hadn't seen the show first.
I think that it's a fitting... I mean, you just can't do this shit to people, you know? You can't rape and plunder and still expect to keep your titles. It's amazing that you're still alive, you know, that you're kept alive. But, of course, it's not... You know, this is just one of those things that falls outside of the normal realm of okay. You know, if you're a high knight, you can abuse peasants... Like, no.
If you have money.
So he sends out Beric Dondarrion and Thoros of Myr, who
guys.
Play a role later on in the series. He's also sent, we mentioned earlier, 20 of his own men to accompany them, and that's a huge, huge risk to be taking, knowing that there's a lot here that's going on that could potentially jeopardize his family.
But you know, I think it's funny because it speaks a lot too, and I think this is one of the ways that Martin sort of pulls the wool over our eyes, because at this point, if you haven't seen the show, if you haven't read the book before, you don't believe that Ned's life is in danger, and Ned doesn't believe that his life is in danger. You know, no matter what, he sort of has this complete belief that he's not going to die.
Right.
Like, yeah, sure, he needs to send his daughters away. Sure, there's trouble brewing, but he doesn't in a million years think that he's going to get killed off in the first book of his series. I don't know.
He still thinks that honor means something. He's like, well, I'm the hand of the king, and I have to perform my job like this.
He's like, man, my head's on the posters.
Exactly.
even for season two, I peeked ahead.
Yeah.
I peeked ahead. My head's on the poster.
Yeah, just my head. That's it.
Just his head.
He doesn't connect the dots. He doesn't realize.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and give my own of the week to a certain man who owned an entire certain court. I have to give it to Ned. It's general and it's boring, but I don't think any of us thought, I definitely didn't think going into it that he was going to take that strong of a stance. Because even in the show, they put dramatic music behind it. Like, he stands up and he's like, I ship him, I attain him, all this stuff. Like, he takes all the stuff away from the mountain, and I didn't see that coming. Necessarily. I thought he was going to play it a little safe, but Robert was gone and Ned did play. So that's my own.
Mine goes to Baelish, who puts Loras in check, makes a fool of Loras when he says, Sir Loras, if we send you off alone, Sir Gregor will send us back your head with a plum stuffed in that pretty mouth of yours. The mountain is not the sort to bend his neck to any man's justice.
That was a good one. Mine was actually already mentioned when we were doing the readings. It was the "Thank you, Master Pycelle. I feel we might have forgotten that if you had not pointed it out." I just loved Ned's stupid, like, hard-headedness in this and how he suddenly developed a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's good.
I would go with Varys also. I like the line that Ned had to Pycelle, Selena, that you just mentioned. That was actually the one I wrote down, but... Mm-hmm. It's actually a warning, in a sense, from Varys when he says, "Had it been me up there, I should have sent Sir Loras. He so wanted to go. And a man who has the Lannisters for his enemies would do well to make the Tyrells his friends."
Ooh. Yes, just, that was
Varys
a good
is playing just such a different game, though. Like, you can't think, like, three connections ahead, like Varys does, you know, with, like, making the Tyrells happy.
It's like Pokemon cards, man. You got to predict what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, yeah. Like you need a fire because your opponent's about to pull out a grass.
Right. Exactly.
It's a Pokemon game. You win or you die.
Exactly.
I challenge any of our listeners to a battle. I will beat all of you. I promise.
I have the cards. I just don't know how to use them.
Oh, I'll show you.
You will?
Absolutely.
I'll bring my binder next time we
Dude, I've got my binder sitting 8 feet from me right now.
My binder's about 6 feet from me.
There you go.
We're having a...
wow, you guys
totally
are so
this.
Cool.
Oh, I'll play you in Harry Potter cards, Selena. I know you got some of those.
Did you hear her, Zach? She
I
was
just,
like, you
I,
guys
I'm
are
just
so
jealous
cool.
I don't have any cards.
Dude, He's I like, use oh Fluffy God, as my battle tank. So cool. It's the shit.
I heard you have Harry Potter Clue also.
I do have. Oh, you did hear that, didn't you? I do have. Well, I don't have it. Someone brought it to my house, and now I have. It's in
I
my,
have Harry Potter Clue.
It's awesome.
Oh my
it's
God.
Got the spinning things on the bottom.
Yes.
Oh, it's like on. They put so much thought into this.
This is the last thing I would expect to hear anybody say about it. Harry right, Potter Clue.
I challenge all of you listeners as well. Selena and I will play as
it's
a team.
It's super fun.
We'll beat you yes. in Apples to Apples, and we will beat you in Harry Potter Clue.
Oh, the Apples to Apples show. Challenge is
I'm
on,
I'm throwing
man.
Down the gauntlet, okay? The Lannister sigiled gauntlet, if you will.
There should be, oh my God, I know this is totally off topic, but there should be a Game of Thrones Risk game.
Oh, shit.
Like, are you serious? That yeah. would be just the best thing in the world.
I choose Karth. I don't know if that's how you play Risk.
I'm defending Winterfell, so...
Yeah, no, I definitely get Winterfell, for sure. I'd fight you tooth and nail. I'd fight you tooth and nail for that shit.
No way.
I'll surround you from every avenue. Here's what I'll do.
You can have Harrenhal.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd give me Harrenhal, but here's what I really want to do, okay? I'm going to come from... I'll be a Greyjoy, if Eric would let me, and I'll just come in... And I'll just lock myself in your city, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Unless there's insurrection, and then we might have a problem.
You can hold a speech, and I'll knock you out.
Yeah, right, right.
This is, oh my God, this would be so brilliant. Why have no one thought of this before?
So there were some of our owns, but of course we love hearing what your owns are, those of you who are reading along with us. And actually, one of the main places we source those owns are Twitter. So literally at any time during the week, or any time you happen to be reading the books... you know, if it coincides with the chapters we're doing, feel free, tweet at us at Game of Owns and tell us what your own is from that chapter or the chapters that you know we'll be covering next. And we will read it on the show. Of course, you don't need to limit the tweeting to just owns. You can tweet us anything you want at any time of day. If what you have to say is longer than 140 characters, you can email us at contact@gameofowns.com. Gameofowns.com, of course, being our website, where you can find all sorts of owns, as well as the latest news and podcast information, and also for news and awesomeness, go over to hypeable.com, our partner website.
Don't forget about shippable, guys.
Shipping wars.
Our spinoff site.
Shippable, the hypeable partner site.
Yes.
Yes, soon to be.
And, of course, you can rate and review us on iTunes.
Oh, no.
I understand that Christian did a great job and had an epic threat that may never be topped on this show.
Never, ever.
I saw also that you guys replayed the threat. It was that good.
It was.
For last week's episode. But I'll take it down a little notch, and I'll turn it onto a completely different topic. But... As mentioned, we do appreciate your reviews on the show. However, nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. So this week, I'll say this. If you choose not to give us 5 stars, you'll be forced to listen to the book 1 version of Sansa talk about Joffrey for 15 hours on end in a locked room. You'll not be able to leave.
So beautiful.
With lion golden hair.
Oh, he has none of the stag in him. He's too beautiful to be a stag. Guys, please don't suscept yourself to that kind of violence.
No, just do the 5 stars. Just please, save yourselves.
Just save yourselves. Just do it.
Do it.
Okay, well, we actually have some iTunes reviews to read off for you guys, just to show what kind of stuff that you've been sending in. Clearly, Michael and Christian's threats have been working, because you guys said some cool things.
From Alt Girl Ashley, her subject is so many feels. So many feels, everyone. She gave us a 5-star review on October 2nd, 2012, and she says, "This is hands down, balls to the wall, one of my favorite podcasts with a capital P. Each host has something to offer to discussions and amuses me with their varying sense of humor. They make me ponder the mysteries of Westeros and laugh out loud in public, thus creating awkwardness for those around me. Do not fear for my sanity, good folks. I am doing just fine with Game of Thrones in my ears. P.S. Selena, I love you.
I love you too.
Oh my God, I love you
too.
Oh
my God.
Oh my God, we love each other.
This is from Ocean Lady 15.
Wow.
They say, "Thank God for this podcast. Haven't read the book, so I'm trying to keep up with all the characters. It can be confusing. The podcasters are great together and really sort out the episode. Plus, I love all the different opinions. It's also great that the podcasters are male and female. Keep up the great work, from a young 50-plus lady."
I do have one from my very special iTunes that only I can see that I really want to read to you guys, because it blew my mind. This person said, "Totally owned. Just listened to every episode in one day."
Wow.
Brilliant. You must be losing your mind.
Sorry about
our
the voices.
Voices in your head. But well done.
This one's from Potion Geek. This person says, "I have been threatened. Just listen to one of the episodes. Micah said titty. 5 stars just for that." Wow.
Well, I got to get in on the fun, too.
Okay.
This last review we have here, the most recent one, actually, from Hawk Lawson, says, "I love this podcast more than Eric loves Theon, and that is saying something."
Wow.
God, who said this? I can't find this.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Zach Louie.
And I'm Micah Tittybaum.
5 stars.
I chortled.